What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Also known as Staying Alive. Hello, everybody.
We're back for episode 69 of the Gamecast. Shout out to everybody who's there since day one. You're the real MVP. You are the real MVP. Especially with the first episodes, because we're a bit rusty. But we've gotten better. We have definitely gotten better with just talking, which is funny in and of itself. Just talking, because that's all we're doing. We're talking. But we have to be, like, interesting and all that crap.
So we try.
Yeah, we try. You know what I mean? But today we have a good show for you. And before we get into, like, the main topics, we kind of just want to talk about, you know, what's been going on. What's been happening in our neck of the woods and whatnot. Just kind of a catch-up sort of a thing. And in this segment, it's kind of not just stuff that we've done throughout the week or things that we've been reading or watching. It's also an opportunity to kind of just have a bit of therapy, I guess. Because we get to talk about us in outside of entertainment. That being said, I'm going to start with entertainment because why not? Being a horror fan, I've watched, you know, several films recently, and one of them was Halloween, the new Halloween, Halloween Kills. And I'm not even going to give a review for this one. I don't think it's needed. I think it was extremely mediocre, and I was a little let down, or a lot of let down, actually, because I liked the first reboot or whatever, and I was expecting just better, that's all, just better. There's a lot of exposition that wasn't needed. There's a lot of really awkward scenes and some things that didn't make sense. And one of the, prime blockers of criticism is how the film is supposed to depict people who are afraid. And because they're afraid, they do, you know, things that just aren't logical, which I get. And unfortunately, it does a poor job of showcasing that, because it goes from, I guess, like, not logical or illogical to, like, absurd. I think Train to Busan does a better job of showing how people can kind of be selfish, or people can kind of, you know, just lose it and because of panic or whatever, and do, you know, make really bad choices. In this, it just seemed like your goal is one thing, and you just you ended up with something else, and because of that, there's criticism, and there's this weird thing that people do, where whenever you criticize something, they kind of go, well, this is the reason. Well, this they had a plan. This is, you know, there's a message in here. If you just look at the message. And I'm like, none of that saves any of this. You can have the best message ever, you know, and depict something horribly, and your message gets left by the wayside. Yeah. So the message in and of itself doesn't save you. Stop it. Stop it, people. But yeah, it wasn't that great. It's an okay popcorn film, I guess. I didn't go to the movies because I didn't want to be around people. And so I watched it on the Peacock streaming service, and was actually has some decent stuff on there. And I watched it there. And and that's all I got for you is that sound I just made. But beyond that, I was bummed that there wasn't a new episode of One Piece. And you might think that, well, it's just anime. Like, you know, just whatever. You just go watch something else. And I did. But a lot of comfort as of late has come from, I guess, like, television. Comfort shows. Like, people have that. Comfort movies, comfort shows, whatever the case. And so there's, like, a thing that I do, you know, every so often. Whether it's I'm watching Scrubs for the 1,000th time, or, you know, watching A Different World or something like that, it's comforting. It's like a familiar thing, a familiar face, a familiar vibe, and you feel good because, you know, we're still dealing with COVID. We're still dealing with a bunch of stuff. And so when those things are gone, like, for instance, A Different World is no longer on Prime anymore, which sucks.
Ew.
It's like, dang, my nightly routine has been shifted. And on the weekends is usually whatever animes I'm watching, whether it's, you know, Baruto, which has gotten good, or, you know, in this case, One Piece, when they're done, or they stop abruptly, because it's not finished, it kind of sucks, because I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And you know, for my Christian people out there, I do pray like in the morning and stuff like that, but it's just certain things that feel a little bit more tangible and just routine. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, whether you, I guess it's kind of akin to someone who doesn't have their coffee, but not because of caffeine. It's just like, this is a thing that I do each morning or whatever the case may be. And it makes me feel better about starting whatever. It's the same thing with going to bed. And so because it just, it's helpful for my brain.
Yeah, it gives your brain something to do, which my brain is not very good at right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you had any, like, anything that's comforting in that regard? I know you've been playing the games in terms of making or helping with you know, cognizant ability, but in terms of, you know, just comfort, has there been anything that you've watched in that regard?
I was catching up on all of the scams. And when I say scams, I mean, I caught up on all the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp drama. And I was like, oh my God, how can they let this girl work on Aquaman? How? Like, how?
Wait, I haven't caught up. I haven't missed. There's so much. There's only but so much news you can get. Like, I know a lot of people were upset recently about Mel Gibson being a part of the John Wick TV show. Like, people, like, just had it. And honestly, it's for a good reason. He said, you know, anti-Semitic things and racial things, or racist things, I should say. And not to say that you can't be forgiven and never work ever again.
Right.
I'm not of that belief, but at the same time, I totally understand why people are upset. The Johnny Depp stuff, I kind of just saw from afar and didn't really get into it. So I don't know exactly what went down there. On one side, I heard that he was kind of wrongfully accused or whatever. Then the other side is like he's a habitual abuser or whatever. So I don't know.
No, he's not a habitual abuser. And I mean, look, this might be controversial. I always thought that he was innocent. Like, I really, and I don't want to use the word innocent language is not good for me. But I just never believed that, like, he was made to look like a wife beater. That's what it was. Like, they try to make him look like a wife beater. Like, this guy beats his wives. Like, this guy abuses women in a general, like, multiple, like, that's what they try to make it seem like. And Amber Heard is like, I'm this victim walking around with bruises on her face and whatnot. But she was the abuser. It was her.
See, I heard stuff like I said, I didn't look into it.
Yeah. I always thought it was that way. I did. I just always thought it was that way. And then I apparently had time to watch a bunch of YouTube videos to finally support my claim that I've been feeling since, you know, this whole mess happened like 5 years ago. I
wasn't like conspiracy theorists on, because that's a lot on YouTube. There's a lot of people like that.
Yo, those conspiracy theory videos are horrid. But no, these are like the ones where they're like, they just play the tape. And it's like, this woman is abusive as crap. She literally admits to fighting him. She admits to hitting him. She admits to it. And she admits to starting fights with him so he will fight her. Like, he keeps trying to leave. Every time she gets physical, he tries to leave so he doesn't get into it with her. And she berates him for leaving. She's like, why don't you fight for me? Like, fight for you, woman. You want him to punch you in the face. It's what you want, so that you can take all his money. I mean, like, what more are we saying here? If that's, those are the things that I was listening to, I was like, oh my God. And she tried to kill him. She cut his finger off. Like, oh God, he got MRSA.
Finger off.
He got MRSA twice. She threw a bottle of vodka at him and it smashed his finger and cut it open. I'm telling you, homegirl is on some stuff. And I was like, how did this happen a month after you got married? Just a month.
Oh, goodness.
And then they said she cheated on him with Elon Musk and James Franco.
Wow.
There's so much. I was like, my head, I can't take it anyway. So, yeah, that was bringing me some, I don't want to say comfort, but it gave me some occupation. And and I'm sorry, the only reason why I even went down this path was because Jason Momoa got hurt on the set of Aquaman 2. Apparently, she tried to take his eye out. So
Oh, God.
I was like, look, I already don't like her, so let me just go. Sorry, I'm saying this out loud. I don't.
Yeah, he's looking to do a $50 million defamation claim against his wife, like a lawsuit.
Because it's in Virginia because the Washington Post prints here.
Right.
Yeah, because the British tabloid printed an article saying that he was a wife beater, and it's like, no, you should.
Oh, no, not that one. That one, oh. He actually lost that case. It's he actually has one against his wife, like in particular his wife, not the actual newspaper thing. That actually, I think he lost last year, I think.
No. I'm talking about the new one. I'm saying that because she wrote an op-ed. Amber Heard wrote an op-ed.
Oh, okay.
Post, that's why he's suing her in Virginia. Because she wrote an op-ed basically saying, oh, you know, this, that, and the other, and kind of confirming that, yeah, he's wife beater because of what the Sun printed.
Ah, I see.
And so that's why that's why the judge is even hearing his case, because they're like, it is defamation. And so he gets to file it here because of the Washington Post prints here. So that one is actually kind of looking good in his favor, because with all the evidence of her actually being the instigator, like the Sun needs to not print. And since I was talking about scams for a quick minute, the scam in all of this is that the Sun, the British tabloid or whatever, is like owned by like Rupert Murdoch's son, who also sits on the board of Tesla. And if like Amber Heard was actually cheating with Elon Musk, then it all makes sense, because they were working to destroy Johnny Depp's career so that Amber Heard's career would be better.
I think you're watching the wrong videos.
No, but I'm saying it was good entertainment, because I can't do anything, like, you know. I only go in public 2 times a week to go to physical therapy and stuff. So,
how's that been going?
I mean, apparently I am getting better in the way, like I'm trying to sound like, how am I getting better? No, like apparently my eyes move much better now, and my balance is better. It's still not good. Like, I'm still having a problem, like, walking one foot in front of the other. It's, like, the hardest thing in the world. I know it's hard for normal people, but, like, it was never hard for me. And now it's like, the worst thing. I feel like I can't remember ever walking in a straight line before. And so there's that kind of stuff. But, yeah, my balance is pretty, it's still shaky, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And then, of course, I have speech therapy to work on, you know, memory and speaking, like, you know, the issues that I have with forgetting words. And then just one of the things that I have to do is it's called blocking, I guess. Like, I don't have the ability to do things for long periods of time anymore. So, like, you know, we keep our show to an hour, and it would be harder to do like super long shows, because, you know, my headaches would just increase, because I always start the show with a headache and then it gets to the red zone. And then I'm like, you know, and typically we're done by then. And then I'm like, okay, let me go pop some headache medicine.
right.
So, yeah, I mean, to not like be a downer and everything. But of course, I love to keep the fans abreast of what I'm going through. I'm somewhat better, but some things aren't improving and some things seem to be getting worse. So just in that kind of weird area.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a downer, personally. I think most of the time, I was just talking to my wife about this. There was something about knowing that other people go through stuff, being helpful, but not from a way of, not from like misery loves company type of thing, but this idea that you aren't alone in whatever it is you're dealing with is a little comforting, because there's a lot of people. I remember, you know, talking about going to therapy and how, especially in the Black community, that's not a thing that people do. And so going to therapy, talking about it openly, and how so many people hit me up behind the scenes because of the stigmas and whatnot, and being like, it was very helpful. They started going to therapy. You know, they were asking me questions about it. I had people hit me up like, hey, do you know anybody I should talk to, et cetera, et cetera. And it was it's been helpful. And while I don't always necessarily believe that I go through certain things to help other people, if it's something where I go through that and it can help somebody, then it's a blessing in that. So
yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of share like just a little bit of what's been happening.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. Like for instance, I wasn't able to teach today. It was just overwhelming with like not getting enough sleep, whether it's because of work or because I don't typically sleep well, or because of, you know, like a child is awake, or you know, because they take my freaking shows off of Prime.
They took your shows.
Right. So it's like, but then also feeling like a lot of guilt or, you know, feeling like you just can't do things right. Whereas like, you know, I've taken on the task of teaching and, you know, our kids, and not being able to do so, it makes you, it's just a lot. It's a lot. Especially. Yeah. So, started back out with my therapist, which has been great, because I wasn't going to. It was one of those things where I was like, you know what, I'm fine. Like, this is just a bump. You know, I had therapy before and I know how to kind of work these things out. And what I found was that my therapist was like, you know, it's kind of like a doctor's visit. She was like, you know, it's not unheard of for people to call her, you know, years later after having therapy and being like, hey, I need to, you know, let's start this up again. You know, look at it like anything else. Like you would go to the doctor for a checkup. So this is, you know, kind of a mental checkup type of thing. And come to find out, there has been some problems. So let's look into that. And so it's been beneficial. And so sharing those things, it's like, well, if anybody out there is going through stuff and needs someone to talk to, not necessarily me, there's definitely, you know, avenues. And that might be something that we look into for, you know, maybe a future guest to kind of talk about how someone can go about these things. Because not everybody can, you know, can afford therapy. And so there might be ways around that. I know the people that I work with, if we didn't have insurance, they actually have like payment plans and other avenues to kind of help people out. And so it's they usually are there to kind of, you know, see what they can do. Because they don't want you to go somewhere else, or they don't want you to hurt yourself or whatever. So they try to work with you. And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people just think like, you know, I don't have insurance, so this is way above my means, or, you know, because you think about, I think people, and not that Fraser is bad. I think Fraser actually does a really good job in terms of showing what can happen. But a lot of times people look at like shows like Fraser and they're like, oh, well, they have to pay this, you know, crazy fee to go see these people. And it's not always that case. Just a state of things, just how things are going with us. It's just some rough weeks, which is why, you know, our show might not go up 1 week. You know, we might take a week off.
Yeah, because last week was rough.
Yeah, and we have to be better about giving ourselves grace, about being okay with taking a break, about being okay with needing help, being okay with, you know, venturing out and getting advice, being okay.
That's what my therapist says to me, man.
See, that's, it's helpful, because it's a lot of times, especially now because of COVID, we can't go visit people like we want. I mean, people do, but they shouldn't. We can't go do certain things. And because of that, people kind of, I guess, go inward. And that can be a rough spot to be in. If everything is held in and you can't express any type of anything, or it might come spilling out on social media, which could also be really, really bad. And so that's kind of why we wanted to, you know, just to have a little chat, before we get into like the entertainment stuff, to have a little chat about how things are going. Hopefully everything is going well with everybody out there. And if it isn't, you know, if things are difficult outside of COVID and everything else, you know, there's help. There's definitely help out there. You know, one of the things that I found interesting too is that there's no like guide work. I think like the last pandemic we had, like the world had, where it was like, this was so long ago that no one really knows what we did. And what I mean by that is like having children, right? Like they're dealing with COVID as well, but how they process it, how they deal with it is a little different from us. And we can't even tell them how to deal because we are dealing with it. Like this is a first for us. So there's a lot of mental exhaustion all around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know, basically this is a beacon to let you know that you're not alone. Just you know, little flag there. Just plant that.
You're not alone. We go through stuff too, guys. And so when you're going through stuff, you can listen to us talk about fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Speaking of fun stuff, let's get into one of our first topics. And this is only fun to me because it's hilarious at how bad this is. Activision. So remember we were talking about Activision Blizzard and how they were being sued left and right because of, you know, their how they were treating their employees and how it was like a frat house and all these other things. Well, so a couple of things have happened since then. Recently, so I want to say back in September, Activision settled with the Federal Employment Agency for $18 million, which basically everyone felt it was like a slap on the wrist. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission lawsuit essentially was like, you know, they were bringing Activision to court because of what was happening, what was going down, all the stuff that came about, and they were able to settle. And in within that settlement, it was like Activision agreed to, you know, place money here or there. They agreed to, you know, basically, I don't want to say root out the bad people, because it's the way Activision has been doing things. They've been really sneaky, and we're going to actually get to this part in a sec, where they have been doing everything from possibly destroying evidence to, trying to, they actually had like a, I remember before we were talking about it, how they had a clause in your contracts where you couldn't bring up certain things, and other companies have a certain NDAs too, where, but it's a little bit different. It's based on your products. Like for instance, working for T-Mobile, when I left T-Mobile, you had to sign an NDA to kind of said that I wouldn't go to Verizon right after. And it was mainly because I knew company secrets, not like I was high up in the company or anything, but it's kind of like you don't want to take that knowledge over to Verizon or, you know, a competitor. And so there's usually NDAs about that. Like you have a certain amount of time before you're allowed to speak on certain things. But apparently Activision had an NDA when it came to stuff where, like, you know, sexual harassment and things like that. Obviously, it wasn't worded like, don't tell people you were touched inappropriately. It was worded in such a way that, you know, they could take legal action against you based on how you brought it up, which caused people to kind of, you know, obviously not say anything until eventually it kind of exploded, you know, earlier this year, where several of the employees, you know, staged a walkout. Gamers have been boycotting their, you know, like World of Warcraft and Overwatch. I haven't been playing any of their games as of late, just because of all the stuff that's been happening. And so the EEOC, like I'm just, you know, shorting it or whatever, they had brought about, you know, this lawsuit. This was one lawsuit. There's been others. And Activision had some stuff to do in order to fix everything. But they settled. They settled for $18 million. And there was a problem with that. One of the problems, or the main problem, is that another agency, I think that's the right word, agency, the California Department of Fair and Equal Housing, had already had an ongoing legal battle with Activision. And within the settlement for the previous, the previous people who were suing them, the settlement, it would allow Activision to kind of wipe the slate clean. And in doing so, it would harm the DFEH's case, because they were claiming that Activision would, you know, they were already accused of erasing, you know, evidence or like shredding evidence or whatever the case may be. But in the settlement, Activision kind of gets to, I don't want to say like get out of jail free, but they kind of like can short some of the information that's needed for this other case, for this other lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So they tried to intervene. They tried to say, hey, you can't do that. Not only did you not talk to us about this before you guys settled and, you know, it could potentially hurt our claim, you're going to remove the evidence. You're going to hurt our chances of actually doing some justice. So that turned into a fight. Unfortunately, this actually gave Activision a bit of a wiggle room. And I'm actually quoting Kotaku here. So I'm actually pulling up the article. Shout out to Renita Price. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. So they talk about the case and they say that Activision has requested additional time to investigate and potentially disqualify the California Department of Fair and Equal Housing from its ongoing legal battle with the agency. This is on account of potential ethics violations in the other ongoing legal battle with the California Department of Fair and Equal Housing. This is likely a very bad thing for the DFEH prospects on both cases. The reason why this is bad is because apparently once upon a time, there was an alleged harassment of employees, which is like, again, the company that's bringing Activision to court apparently had harassment, you know, issues within its own company. Like, we can't seem to get away from this.
No.
Which is what's funny, because it's this weird entanglement of multiple entities that's causing all this issue. And Activision is just sitting back laughing as if Activision is this like weird monster.
Yeah.
With multiple heads or whatever, just laughing at the foolishness of what's going on. But apparently there was a lot of, you know, those issues with sexual harassment, psychological trauma and all this other stuff. And basically Activision is like, hey, maybe these people aren't the right people to actually take us to court.
Maybe.
So we need more time. And they're like, you know, actually dragging this out could actually hurt, you know, they could hurt. It actually, Activision is presenting it as if this could potentially harm any other case that's brought up, or, you know, it kind of like these people aren't to be trusted, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is all because they tried to intervene with the other people that Activision was settling with. So we have, it's just
trash.
It's all around trash. And I feel like it's making, like, Activision is going, I don't think that they're necessarily going to win, but it could disqualify the DFEH from having their own trial, which is what mm-hmm. Activision wants, because they could just settle with the EEOC, and I'm sorry for all these letters, people, but I'm not reading all that out. But it'll kind of like disqualify. And it's like, fam, you didn't. I feel like this is like old Twitter messages that didn't pop up until later. Like, you forgot to scrub them clean before you went to run for senator or whatever the case may be. If it's like, you guys didn't think this was a thing that you should bring up or you should tell or you should be open about before you started an investigation into this company about the same type of stuff. Like, no one said anything. Like,
no one.
And
because
I'm like,
everyone's incompetent.
Right.
And I guarantee you, the one person who probably researched this and actually said, hey, I found some stuff that I think is bad, they probably got fired. The one person who said, hey,
oh my gosh.
Excuse me. And they're like, aren't you supposed to be getting my coffee? And he's like, yeah, but while I was getting your coffee, because I multitask, I did a quick Google search and found out that the DFEH has problems because they told their employees they shouldn't. Hey, sir, you're only here for coffee, so hush. That's what happened. And he got fired. Or she.
Yeah, okay. It's just so crazy. And then, like, and what's also crazy is that the motion has been brought about by the other company that was suing Activision.
Yeah.
So like the EEOC's ethical complaints, Activision also argues that the DFEH should be disqualified on account of his communications with Activision Blizzard's employees regarding their rights to external counsel. The company alleges that the DFEH warned employees against finding their own lawyers in favor of cooperating with the DFEH's own investigation. Like, it just, oh my God, it just looks bad, fam. It just looks so bad. And it's like, it's a win for them. It's a win for Activision, because if they get disqualified, if their claim gets thrown out, then it's only the other guys. The other guys were ready to settle. And a lot of the employees were like, this was a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. Like $18 million. And then also there's money that's going towards like other, they're setting up like programs and stuff like that, you know, to for the betterment of the company. Yeah. So, you know, there's stuff like that. But all together, the amount of money it's not a lot at all for Activision Blizzard. They make a lot of money yearly, like a ridiculous amount of money. And it's not, you know, necessarily about the money, but the idea is to, I guess the word would, to seek justice in a way that would prevent these things from happening again. You know, it's, and you know, one aspect of that is the, you know, the board members who were like, Activision hasn't done anything to actually fix this. We had this particular settlement, and then we had the other one from the other company. Those things were supposed to deter Activision Blizzard from, you know, having a frat-like, you know, company.
Yeah.
And if they're just going to get a slap on the wrist, people are going to forget about it, then they're going to go buy their games again. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. But, and again, it's not to be grim. It's not to be like, oh, you know, to be woe is me over what's happening. It's just the, like you said, the incompetence and like the silliness of this thing. With all the evidence, with all the stuff that's been going down, there should be a reckoning. There should have been a reckoning with Activision. And they're just kind of like, not even because of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even because Activision like actually did anything for this to happen. It was that they settled and then another company jumped in, so that the company that they settled with was like, hold up. Y'all got some stuff, you know what I'm saying, that you got in the closet over there that we can kind of use to shut you up. And Activision's like, oh, really?
I'm like, oh, you too, do you?
Yeah, it's, my goodness. It's just so goofy. I really, but on the flip side, though, I do hope that something is done where, you know, it's a better company. Because there are good people that work there. There are good developers that work there. And, mm-hmm. you know, no one deserves to be treated the way they were treated. And, you know, I'm hoping, I want to say since this happened, I'm hopeful. The reason why I'm hopeful is because since this happened, a lot of people have been fired. There's been 20 people have let go. Granted, the people who are saying that they've been fired, they didn't really speculate on who it was. They didn't share that information. And they said that other people would be, you know, punished if they found out that they were involved in whatever the case may be. But it's hard to kind of take these people's word for it because of all the shady stuff they've been doing. Mm-hmm. But it's hopeful that there's some changes happening that, you know, I don't think, you know, Activision Blizzard is going to go down anytime soon. And that's not even necessarily what I'm hoping for. But I'm hoping that there's going to be some good change and it'll be a long-lasting change. And, you know, you got to take it one step at a time. I just hope that whatever comes of it, whatever case, whatever is brought up next, that is not, you know, the people that are bringing it up don't trip over themselves with their own mess.
Yeah.
And because I'm very quick to be like, you know, what happened over there has nothing to do with what's happening here. What happened with that particular company has nothing to do with Activision. But that being said, with being lawful, like you kind of, you know, the people that's bringing this up, they're going to use your dirt. They're going to use your dirt against you to kind of get out of whatever the hell they're in. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's just how that works.
That's just tactics.
Know? So I kind of wanted to share that in Activision world. Because it does seem like it's its own world. And I know Ubisoft is over there like, please keep the attention on them. Please don't look at us. But we see you, Ubisoft.
Yeah, we see you.
Another thing we wanted to talk about, and this one is a little bit more somber, is talk about Christopher. I think his last name is Aries, A-Y-R-E-S, recently passed. He was the best known for the voice of Frieza on Dragon Ball Z Kai. For those who don't know, Dragon Ball Z Kai was like a revised vision of Dragon Ball Z, like a reboot of Dragon Ball Z. Essentially the same show with cleaned up, you know, cleaned up tracks, cleaned up vocals, cleaned up, you know, animation and stuff like that. So it wasn't, it didn't change a whole lot. It was just a better produced show, which ran right into Dragon Ball Super. So Chris was actually the voice of Frieza for that, for Kai, as well as the newer Dragon Ball Z films like Resurrection F and Brawly was also, you know, in Dragon Ball Super. He was also in other shows as well, like Macross, Initial D.
He was in Gantz.
Yep, in Gantz. You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of work. And it was interesting. I found out that he actually was, he was born in VA. Shout out to VA. Whenever I found anybody who like is from Virginia and does like animation or in this sort of field, I'm like super excited. Being an illustrator and, you know, hopeful to animate one day. Shout out to the creator of Doug. He was from VA as well. But anywho, so yeah, he's actually done a ton of voice work for different shows, different anime. And yeah, he passed away. I think he was 56.
Yeah.
56. I'm not sure, like,
I think why, his like, wife said he had COPD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because apparently she posted something that was really sweet. She said, like, wherever you are, I know you're dancing and breathing in. Like, she said something like taking a deep breath and dancing.
Oh, okay.
And apparently, I guess what I've said is that he had COPD, so that could have been it. But there was no official statement, I think, that said that he died of COPD.
Got you. And he had to get a double lung transplant.
Yeah, lung transplant, yeah.
That was back in 2017. So that just sounds like a hell of a procedure to kind of go through. And so that's, yeah, I would imagine. And it's especially with, and granted, she doesn't say anything about COVID, but I can imagine in a, you know, world with COVID, any type of respiratory issues would just be rough, you know, in terms of trying to stay away from people, having to wear masks and stuff like that. How troubling that can be. But, you know, prayers out to the family, you know, and whatnot. And it's unfortunate news. But remembering, you know, in the effort to remember him more fondly, he does a great job in all the voice acting that he's done. Because I didn't realize some of the characters that I heard before were him. Because not to be weird, but a lot of times you don't know the voice actors. Like, you'll hear someone and you're like, unless, I mean, I know, you know, Cree Summer, I know, like, you know, certain people, but
yeah, when you can't not anime, know Cree Summer, that she's
right. Like, if you're black, you just have to, like, that's a rule. Like, you know, you kindergarten, you know who Cree Summer is. That's how it works.
But
I did, you know, there were some other characters that if they sound the same, then I'm like, oh, that's that guy from that other show or whatever the case. But in this case, I didn't really know. And so I looked and I was like, oh, he spoke for this person. Okay, cool. That was cool. And he did a really great job. He was able to, you know, and this is something that kind of comes with the territory, but being able to change your voice in a way that you're not recognizable to anyone is really, really good. Like, because Kree has a unique voice. She doesn't really have to change anything. She can sound however she wants to sound. It'll be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be great. Like, it's she's playing a little black boy, she's playing a little black girl, she's playing a mom, she's playing a teacher. She's gonna sound great. It doesn't really matter because her voice is unique and raspy and it works. So, you know what I'm saying? And not to say that Chris's voice wasn't great, but, you know, he didn't sound like Frieza, didn't sound like anyone else.
Yeah, like, knowing that he did Frieza and that he did Kay from Gantz. Right. Is so interesting to me. And mind you, I did not watch Gantz in English. I was one of those people who got Gantz simulcast. And so yeah, no, like I didn't know he was anyway. But yeah, so I never listened to him as Gantz, but knowing what Frieza's voice is supposed to sound like, because I didn't watch Kai. I think I watched one episode of Kai and I was like, oh, sure. And then I went about my business. There's a reason for that. And that's because I didn't have the emotional wherewithal to put myself through Kai, because I've already put myself through Dragon Ball Z.
Right. So it's the same here.
There was just no way I was going to do it. I know. So I didn't hear his voice as Frieza, but I know what Frieza is supposed to sound like. So just knowing that he played this little silver and purple space monster, and then he also played troubled K, is very interesting, because they're not the same.
They're not. And I heard, so I heard him on Dragon Ball Super. I saw like a few episodes of Kai, and then I started watching when Super picks up, because it picks up right after Boo, the Boo saga, because they don't do GT, like GT never happened.
It's which not real.
I'm not mad at that at all. I'm totally not. He picks up there, as and he sounded good. Like it wasn't even like Frieza was, because I remember the original voice of Frieza, and I felt like this was his depiction was truer to Frieza, if that makes sense. Like it's almost like you know how like you have a character who sounds like Optimus Prime, but then the real voice Peter Cullen comes and it's like, no, that's Optimus Prime, right? But in this sense, this was the opposite. Like I've heard Frieza, you know, the American Frieza, but then I also heard the Japanese version, and then I heard Chris's version, and I was like, yo, he sounds like how Frieza should sound.
Yeah,
he sounds like Mark Hamill on the Joker for Batman. It's just like these voices just fit. He did an amazing job. He did an amazing job.
Yeah. Which is one reason why I love animation, is because when you get the right voice actor, everything makes sense.
It does. Really makes
sense.
And it's, which is crazy, because it's, you have to convey, I mean, granted, it is possible to do it if the animation is really good, but it's, you know, in terms of like conveying emotion through the, you know, facial expressions and stuff like that. But like being able to do so with your voice and like, because these are just drawn characters. It's not like someone acting in front of a screen. But at the same time, you're still acting. It's called voice acting. So to be able to convey emotions and stuff like that. Granted, most of Frieza's emotions are just petty and greed and you know, seeking power and just being a jerk. He does it really well, though. You know what I'm saying? He does it really well.
Kill him, Captain Ginyu. Like, really, the Ginyu force? The milk force of all things? The milk force.
Well, everything is food with Dragon Ball Z for some reason. From Vegeta to, what is it? Isn't Goku rice or something like that?
Goku is heaven. It's Gohan who is rice. Gohan means rice or meal.
Oh, okay.
Goku is like heaven, kind of. Well, I mean, it's a place. Because heaven is Tengoku.
Well, I guess that makes sense, since he dies all the freaking time.
He does die all the time.
It is a lot of like a lot of food. Their characters, their names come like are derived from food.
Everyone, Nappa and Broly was broccoli. Yep. Vegeta, obviously. Raditz was radish. So the whole Ginyu Force was named after milk, because Jace was cheese. Birder was butter. I don't remember the rest of them. And if there were others. And then, I mean, and then what's it called? It's like Puar is a tea. Oolong is a tea. And then Yamcha is actually Yamucha. I think Yamcha is like a dim sum or something. I think so. And except Bulma. Bulma is not food. Bulma, her name is actually Bloomers, like the underwear.
Yeah, so, yes, that's right.
Yeah, her name is Buruma, but they changed it to Bulma for the English. And but yeah, her name is Blue Maurice. But that's why Trunks' name is Trunks.
Right.
And then it fits. Bra's name is Bra. Her name is Bra.
I don't know why. We just accept it. Like, yep, that's Trunks and Bra's and whatnot.
You have to let Akira Toriyama be the genius that he is.
It's something. I don't know if genius is the right word, but it's definitely something.
It worked for us. We all watched it.
We didn't know any better. Oh, because the fights were fire. That's
the fights were fire.
That's what we came back for. And the great voice acting. Shout out to Chris and his family.
Yeah.
Prayers out for you guys.
Yeah.
And everybody who's dealing with loss as of late.
Yes.
Prayers up to you guys. That is our show. That is our show for today. Short show, not a whole lot going down. We just kind of want to talk about a few things real quick while we're trying to be better, I guess, to ourselves. Try to get some rest. Try to be okay. I actually turned down a review today.
Oh, wow.
I had someone, PR, hit me up about reviewing something else. And it just so happens the last reviews that I did, one is actually going to be going up soon. I did a review for the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl game. That's kind of like Smash Brothers, but with Nickelodeon characters.
Yeah.
And check that out on Game Skinny. And it just so happened that I was asked to do it. And I was like, yeah, why not? Because I had nothing on my plate at the time outside of my normal like news posting and stuff like that. I didn't have any features lined up. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But like the PR person didn't get back to us with the code. So I was like, you know what? It's cool. I got hit up by another person to review a pair of headsets, like a gaming headset. It's like, all right, I don't have this game. So why don't I do that? Cool. And it just so happened like either the day of or the day after, they were like, oh, and here's the code now. And I'm like, crap. So now I have two reviews to do back to back, which is something that I try not to do, but it always happens. I had a person tell me no for a code and then tell me yes, like midnight before the game launched. And I'm like, while I'm appreciative of the fact that you're giving me a free copy of whatever, your timing sucks because when you tell me no, I'm moving on to the next thing. Because if I don't have clients, I don't get paid. So I have, I'm like, all right, I knocked this off the schedule. But the fact that they sent the code is kind of, I didn't want to have the editor, leave the editor hanging. So I was like, you know what, I'll do it. And at that moment, trying to do both of these reviews, I'm like, I am tired.
Yeah.
I've crazy enough, I've made the most money that I ever have writing this year. Like, it was bananas how much work I've gotten and some of the bigger assignments that I've gotten. But at the same time, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not doing it. I said it, and I said it publicly. So like, kind of like to hold myself accountable. I was like, I'm not doing any more reviews this year. Not doing it. I will do other articles, obviously, but I'm not doing like reviewing of something. If I buy a game or I get a ticket to see something, I'm just going to watch and enjoy, not reviewing it. And so then I was tested, of course, because before the review even dropped, before the headset review that I did, I sent it to my editor. It hasn't dropped yet on the site.
Mm-hmm.
The guy hit me up for a second review, not my editor, the guy who sent out the headset, was like, hey, we got a new one coming out, blah, blah, blah. I just sent you this one, but, do you think you could do this one too? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to pass. I was like, keep me in mind, in the future, but I'm taking a break. And I CC'd my editor. I was like, if he has somebody that he wants to assign this to, then by all means, he can, you guys can talk amongst yourselves. But I'm going to, exit stage left because I'm tired. And which is really cool because typically if it's something that I'm interested in, if it's something I'm interested in, but then also there's this idea that like, if I say no, they won't come back around.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not true. Like I've been asked for to do so many things that it's like, that's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's on them. You know what I'm saying? Like I've written a lot. So
you're setting boundaries.
Yes. Yes. That is the moral of the story. I felt good about it because you're able to set boundaries and then stick to them. Because a lot of times we're the ones that's kind of slip off into the no zone and get caught up in some stuff when we could have just said no and everything would have been okay. I'm here to tell you, it is okay.
Yeah,
you can say it's no. Okay. You can say no. But yeah, so we kind of wanted to have a short episode just because of that. We wanted to, you know, take time to rest. But at the same time, we didn't want to skip another episode either. So,
yeah,
you know, halvesies, halves and halves.
Halvesies, we're here. At least this week, I can open my right eye. Because last week, I'm just saying, it's just the headaches, man. Yeah, I've said this multiple times. Please, y'all, do not get head injuries. Just don't.
If you can,
I just suggest that you don't do it. It's not good. You can't work. Please, I can't. And so don't do it, guys. Please don't. That's our show.
That is definitely our show. If you're listening to us on Audioboom, you know that there's a bunch of links there for different DSPs. You can find us at The Gamecast, and there's dots between the G-A-M-E. You can also find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes, basically all those places. We are also on verbal.com. It's V-U-R-B-L.com. And same thing, just type in The Gamecast. We'll pop up. A newer place. This place is being promoted as like the YouTube for audio content. And they have some pretty cool, they have a cool setup there. We're over there. Cool thing. We actually, one of our snippets that we did where we talked about Insecure, we had a prediction about Lawrence and Issa, if they were getting together. That was on the previous podcast. It's just 2 minutes and I think 10 seconds or something along that line. Mm-hmm. And I took the snippet out. And so I could share it everywhere. But Verbal also holds on to the snippets. There's like a section for snippets. Well, apparently that snippet was pulled for their best pop culture audio snippets. And we were in that lineup with all the bunch of other podcasts, which is really cool. Really, really dope. Someone thought that it was an awesome snippet and they, you know, they wanted to share it with everybody else. So awesome. We're on our way. We're on our way. I will say though, And this is not to necessarily shoot myself in the foot by critiquing Verbal a little bit. I have noticed that the last three episodes, for whatever reason, on Verbal don't sound as good in as they do as other places. And I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure that out. If you go to Verbal and it sounds a little off, you can actually go to, you know, either our YouTube page at United Front Gaming or the Gamecast on Spotify, all those other places. It sounds normal. For whatever reason, it's only the last three. Every other episode before that sound perfect everywhere. So I'm trying to figure out why that's happening. It's still listenable. Like you can still, I think that's a word. You can still listen and you know, hear what we're saying and all that, but it's not as clear as other places. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you go check us out there and you're like, oh, this is horrible. You can go to other places too. We're linked all over the place. All right. So I just wanted to shout that out. Again, I like Verbal. I like what they're doing and the setup and everything and how easy it is to take snippets. But I also wanted to clue the fans in on if something sounds off, it's not all the way around the board. It's just there. So we're trying to figure stuff out, essentially. Anywho, I believe that is it for housekeeping.
That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode, y'all. We love you. Don't be a dick. Wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.